Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Johnny Smith.
I'm Richard Porter.
And this is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and just lots of other things.
Live in a room in Goodwood with Greg James sitting on a bed near us.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, he's actually, he's cupping. He's cupping himself.
It's smoother and less hairy than I would have expected.
No, yeah, so guys...
Like a seal.
Look, guys, let's set the scene.
Good luck with this one.
The scene is a downtrodden hotel. I'm going to say early 20th century, but I could be wrong.
Maybe even 90s.
What, 1990s or 1890s?
It feels like it might have been airlifted from Bristol. It's
yes,
so 90s.
It is quite... It's slightly downtrodden. We're recording this exceptionally late. This might be the latest podcast we've ever recorded. I had 2 hours 40 minutes sleep last night. Yes.
Wow.
Because so, we're near Goodwood.
Backstory.
Yes.
We're at Goodwood. We were at a Goodwood members meeting today.
Yes.
And
it's been wondrous, actually.
It has been wondrous. It's been a fabulous day. This is partly why I'm incredibly husky.
No one can tell. I must say this at the top of the show, as professionals say. He's exceptionally drunk.
I am quite drunk. Thanks for blowing the gig wide open, but I am quite drunk.
Richard.
It's not.
Richard has peaked exceptionally early and taken in some. You have taken in some serious afternoon units.
Paced myself. Paste it.
Serious afternoon news. But can I just say, it's an unusual Smith & Sniff in that respect. We're doing it late at night. Richard doesn't sound like Richard anymore. And we've got a third man in the room. This is the first Smith & Sniff with more than two presenters.
No, we did that when we went to Renspalt. We had sort of people. And we generally don't have guests.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have guests because it just... we don't.
So this is not... we're not classing the man in this room as a guest.
No, because it's just basically... there's a layabout lying on my bed in the hotel room where we're recording.
I'm going to take a photo because he's got actual shoes on that have probably been in Jen's toilets.
He's got shoes on my bed.
He's got shoes on. Which have been gone into Jen's toilets this afternoon and trodden in slightly pissy floor. And they're now on your bed.
Well, there's two single beds. You can pick which one you sleep on. I'd suggest the left.
Actually, that's a good point. There are two beds. But anyway.
Well, let's just rewind a little bit. What happened is that we should also put some context on it, which is that you, Jonathan, got invited to the Goodwood members meeting by Alpine.
By Alpine.
The lightweight sports car manufacturer. And they said, but you've got a plus one. And you went... do you want to come as my plus one?
Yeah, I invited you as my plus one.
But I remember I was on the phone to you and you said, I'm going to email Alpine and say, please can my plus one be Richard Porter, but I don't want to share a room with him because he's a prick.
Yeah, that's exactly
and
what
also,
I said.
And also I don't want to share a car with him down there because he's a prick.
Yes.
And I thought you were joking. And then the lovely PR messaged me, but she should have joined the... email chain, and I scrolled down and I saw your original email and you literally had said that and basically called me a prick, so I had to say
I did.
Thank you for having me along, brackets, I'm sorry for being a prick.
Yeah, it's true.
But then
but
also,
it's all in jest, really.
I know, it was, well, it was lovely.
I know, you meant
the word
I know.
He's a prick affectionately.
A perfectionate prick.
So
sweet guy, a bit of a prick.
Piggybacked on your blag.
You're,
but they were then very insistent that I had an Alpine A110 to drive down here.
So we've actually come down. We've come down in three Alpines. Not in formation though. from different corners of the UK.
Greg's taken his shoes off.
So have I. Is that because it's a more intimate gig or because you were worried about having
shamed.
Jed's toilet piss?
I was shamed by the man that's had 8 litres of wine.
Rich, just for reference, Rich is strictly on the E5 tonight. And I'm probably on the more on the Derv. I'm on red diesel.
I ordered a bottle of wine from the bar.
I'm on red.
At least one person in this room would join me in drinking it, and then everyone went, "No, fuck that, I'm not having it." So
I'm on red diesel tonight.
Yeah.
Greg James, what are you drinking tonight?
Gin.
He's on gin, which is what, like super unleaded.
That's ethanol, isn't it? That's ethanol.
That is high ethanol.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're on the
Sauvignon. E5.
Sauvignon Blanc and all that. You know what I mean, mate? Yeah.
So,
Sans Blanc.
Sans.
We've all had a lovely lightweight journey here.
And it has been a sweet, sweet journey because...
Well, I'd forgotten. I haven't driven an A110 for, I don't know, since it came out, really.
Since you and I did a video on...
Yes, which was like 5 or 6 years ago, pre-COVID.
Bloody age. It was when Smith & Ziff was a video, not a podcast.
And heady times.
And all that.
And I'd forgotten what a really lovely car is.
Me too.
And it was delivered to my house yesterday, and I briefly drove it. I'm so croaky.
You do sound like more and more like the old grey whistle test.
Or Annie Nightingale or something.
So yeah.
Okay, yeah, more fags. And briefly drove it, and I went home and I immediately went on Auto Trader and looked at how cheap I could get an A110 for, and it turns out they sort of bottom out at 33 grand.
Mm.
Mm.
Good residuals off of the Alpines.
And then this morning we both did crack of dawn, didn't we?
Do you want me to set the scene of how my day started?
Well,
yeah, you got a bit of time, so yeah. I'll explain.
Yeah, go on.
So the alarm went off at 4:58. I don't get up.
Shitting
I
Christ.
Don't ever get up on the hour. I can't set
I know,
alarms.
But it's you and James May won't set alarms on the hour. Why, no. Then? Why?
Because it just feels like you're conforming too hard.
But no one's judging you on when your alarm goes off.
Okay, so I woke up, 4:58. Boom, alarm's off. As I walk from the bedroom to the bathroom, I think about what song I'm going to put on for my dressing. I have a really long shower. You know those ones where you need it to wake up? You know this because you start work very early.
I don't shower before work.
Don't you shower?
You don't shower before work?
No.
Do you go to work with BO?
No, I shower before I sleep, and I sleep clean.
Oh, you're a clean, you're a clean sleeper. Shit. That's good info. I like that. So I had a very long sort of survival shower.
Sorry, I'm still getting over a grown man saying I sleep clean.
Yeah, it's like fighting clean, isn't it? Clean fight, guys. Clean fight.
Clean sleep.
So he has a clean sleep. I've had a big survival shower. I get out. The towel is stiff. It's the only way I roll.
I know you like a rough towel.
Yeah. And once I've toweled myself down, as I walk from the bathroom back to the bedroom, I shout to the kitchen, yeah. Alexa.
Yeah. No, you can't say it's what you say because you can't.
Oh,
set
shit. All right. Sorry. Okay, sorry. I shout the device. The
device, yeah.
Play Crockett's theme by Jan Hammer. At volume 8.
Yeah.
And then as I'm putting my pants and my socks and my shirt on.
Da, 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 da.
And the sun is just, I can just see through the kitchen window where my house plants are. The sun is just coming up over, and the Alpine was sat out on the drive there.
Yeah, not in the carport.
No, no, it's not allowed in the carport. So, the carport...
Do you know Johnny's got a carport?
Yeah, I'm very proud of it. It's not mine, it's just rented.
I know, but you've still got a carport.
It's good, it's really, it's good, really flimsy plastic.
It's a good
plastic.
Retro facility that you have.
It's great, it just works. And when DPD, like drop kick a parcel somewhere near your house, it stays dry most of the time. Mm. So it's really good.
Mm.
You know, there are practical uses to this stuff.
Yeah, no.
Spiders are really down with it.
Of course they are.
Massively down with it. Where was I?
You put Crockett's theme on before.
Yeah,
that,
yeah,
and
yeah.
And
you
got like a thorough Z of Lynx Africa.
I did.
You Zorro yourself.
I go for deodorant stick. I stick both arms.
You stick?
Yeah,
stick.
Yeah. Yeah, I stick both arms, aftershave is on, and just as it's getting to the crescendo, I would say, of that Jan Hammer classic,
Which mix of this are you playing?
That's a good 5 minutes.
Okay.
But I'm doing 20 press-ups at that point.
What?
Yeah, just to get some blood through the torso. And then I'm into the kitchen.
How quickly can you do 20 press-ups?
Reasonably quick.
Can you?
If there's no more than 20 involved.
Are you doing like full body or knees down?
What?
James has got his hand in the air.
Yes, yes.
I didn't realise this was the high performance podcast.
No, it really is. Actually, you've misunderestimated how much we are.
Come here.
Shuffle forward, James.
Come here. Come.
I'm surprised at how high performance you are at 4:58 in the morning.
It's the only way I do it. If I don't get out, when the alarm goes, if I don't go out of the trap sort of with launch control on, I'm almost holding the torque converter on low. And I'm building the boost, because if I don't do it, I'll go back to bed and fucking the day will be over instantly.
But what will happen to Crockett's theme at that point?
We'll still be playing.
Stop and I'll, it, stop. I'll be, oh God, that'd be the most depressing thing if Crockett's theme was playing and you're actually back in bed. Like,
I'll be
God,
mouth
like
breathing.
Although it's quite a low energy song,
it's
isn't
not,
it?
No, I disagree.
What?
Disagree. And so as Crockett's theme was just tailing off, I just timed it perfectly where I clicked the kettle on. And just as the kettle was becoming vocal, the song faded down.
Oh.
Almost.
Lovely.
I could be a DJ.
Could be.
Probably not, though.
It's maybe more complicated than you're saying. But you're specifically talking about this morning.
This is this. And I had 2 hours.
Out, and there's the LP now.
And the sun is coming up, so the kettle's on. I brew a really, you know, averagely quality coffee, and that is ready to go. Mm. And the sun's just coming up as I strike the Alpine up, and I set off on my journey. I don't speed much.
That's not what you told me earlier on.
Or me.
Yeah,
we both.
I didn't speed.
What we both decided was that
this wine's nice.
And nice. I was going to say, there's no way in which that wouldn't be picked up on the mic. You slid a big glass of Merlot off the counter.
You've never been involved in a shitting broadcast of this.
I have.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Have you?
This is high quality compared to some of the stuff I've done.
Oh, wicked.
Can we... I have a question for you, Greg, which is... I watched you
so
talking to
so
Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah.
In an Audi A2.
Oh, yeah.
Now, why were you in an Audi A2?
It's a great question. And
it's not a trailer.
Is it like a camera car?
I had no choice in the matter.
Okay, so it wasn't your car.
Because I wouldn't have picked that.
Why?
Why not?
I would have picked something else more fun for her.
What?
Are you saying that Taylor Swift doesn't appreciate a highly advanced aluminium bodied small car?
I would have picked something. No, I would have picked something more.
Classic.
More classic or funnier. Like my mum's old car.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think it was the one that came with the guys who had the trailer. That's the truth.
It's a very unusual choice. Yeah. It's not the roomiest thing inside.
No.
I don't know what the choice
is. Did it piss you off? Were you all right?
I was too concerned with getting the interview good. Yeah. Because I was doing lip syncing.
Yes.
So I was too busy learning the song, which hadn't come out yet, so I was trying to learn this song.
Was it? I can't remember. What was the song? It wasn't
Blank Space.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So how many goes did you have?
So I had to go to her hotel, meet her manager, listen to the song on his iPod.
Oh, because they wouldn't give you a copy.
Because they weren't allowed any copies.
In case it got leaked. And
yeah.
Shit.
So it was weird because I didn't have any reference to what the song might sound like in the real world, and I was just, it was like, it was crash, what's it called? Cramming when you're revising.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It wasn't really going in because I was too stressed because this quite old school manager was just staring at me heavy, you know, like doing heavy old man breathing.
is he a British guy? Is that the
heavy
guy
man breathing?
Yes, a guy called... Peter.
Yeah, let's say
something like that.
If you looked at him,
yeah,
okay, what? And you closed.
He's
your
a northern
eyes.
Guy. He's a nice guy, but he's quite a scary character.
Well, he has to be, surely.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What car would he drive if you were going to go for a cliche? If you looked at him and went, "What's he drive? What does Peter drive? Who manages Taylor Swift?"
Ooh,
big black Range.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
What, full fat or spolt?
Well, full fat, black alloys.
Oh gosh,
you think?
One of them. Yeah.
Oh.
shows up on the curb marks as well, doesn't it, right? Mm. When he gouges it.
Yeah.
Because it'll happen. Because he'll be palming it into a space at speed while the Bluetooth stops to stop syncing. And he's in the middle of a very, very
See, if I was...
call.
I don't know, I suppose they don't really make him anymore, but if I was a British guy...
You are a British guy.
Oh, yeah, I've just remembered I am. But if I was also managing Taylor Swift, but I had to be that kind of slightly frightening man...
I couldn't be that guy.
No, I don't think I could either.
He was warmly frightening.
Okay.
Oh, that's good. No, that's good, isn't it?
So
that's probably perfect music manager thing, isn't it? You've got to be warm, but frightening.
What was he called?
I want to know what car, if you
have... But I think an XJR.
If Peter, the manager, had phoned you up the day before and gone, Taylor said, choose any car that you do this thing in, what would you do it in?
Oh. I would pick...
A Renault Laguna.
A Laguna? Okay, I'll hit you with a few. Laguna, Safran, 25, or the aforementioned today, Vauxhall Omega.
Ooh. Oh, shit. No.
But, no, Greg, you're
we need to
quite a classic Renault enthusiast.
Robert Allen was his name.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go.
And is he still her manager? I think he's in that documentary.
Mm.
Was she nice? Did you enjoy spending time with her?
Yeah, she was really fun, actually.
He had a hunch that she would be as nice.
I feel like I desperately need Taylor Swift to be nice.
She is, yeah.
Otherwise, my world is not going.
Well, she's like
sustain.
A female. She's like, in terms of, it's all got a bit musical now. In terms of like talent and mutual respect and their friendship, she's like Ed Sheeran because they're very close, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, she'll be one of the all-time greats.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like Taylor Swift.
I've been in an A2 with her.
Yeah, I know.
This is what's amazing.
About 800 quid car.
Which is also a great car, like one of the all-time greats.
Sweet car.
You've been in one of... A car that only history will judge as true greatness with an artist who... Well, I think we all know is great. But... As a Renault enthusiast, I wanted to show you something. We were emailed this week by a listener called Chris England.
Oh, yeah.
He was in a charity shop.
Oh, I sent you this.
Have you seen this?
What? I sent you this.
Which one? I can't see it.
It's the Renault clutch bag.
Where did you get it from?
It was someone sold it on Etsy and it was a video I saw on TikTok.
Really?
Yeah.
They sold Renault.
Someone sold that on Etsy.
A Renault service history.
This
wallet.
Was in a charity shop.
It's the wallet that has the manual in it.
Yeah.
And someone's
service history wallet.
But that's a lovely accessory.
I'll put the picture on the Patreon for.
Would you like a Renault clutch?
Yeah.
I don't mean the thing that operates the gear.
It's a double meaning.
Yeah.
The Renault clutch bag.
Oh, do you know what? I'm going to just take a quick picture of the setup because it's.
What? Because you think it's absolutely dog shit, isn't it?
Hang on, it's wonderful.
It is dog mud. Absolute mud.
Just take. Silence there for the photo.
I put my phone on silent.
I didn't even do that because. Where's Hubro?
This is the least professional podcast we've ever done.
I think it might be the heavy drinking that's responsible for it.
There's a little.
But
yes,
so,
a little.
Right, from the top.
I made some notes though.
First of all, A110, driving down here.
Yes.
I haven't driven one for a while. I haven't driven an S, which has got the firmer suspension. And I thought, it might be a bit firm. It's not. It's still fabulous. But also, driving down at like 6:30 in the morning.
Oh gosh.
Cross country, cross Wiltshire.
It feels special when you get up really early. And although you're tired AF.
Yeah.
If you're on a mission that you know is going to be fundamentally enjoyable, it's good, isn't it?
Well, it takes me back as well, because you must have done this, and I guess you've done this as well, Greg, but it's like getting up for filming.
Mm.
Always the call time is like 7 a.m. or something.
Yeah.
And there's a part of you going, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
But there's that part of you that goes, I'm ahead of the day here.
Mm.
Is still kipping, and I'm here.
And there's another part of me that goes, I've got a punnet of grapes on the passenger seat.
No, that's not.
I've got a homemade coffee to go in the centre console.
No,
and I've already done 20 press ups. I am fucking,
no, no,
I am
this is just you. This,
I am
no
winning
one else
today.
Is doing this.
I am
this
winning
weird.
Today.
This is quite this is, strange.
I don't believe this is weird.
How did you have time for 20 press ups with
because
pockets,
it takes Steve? Takes about 20
seconds.
25
are
to 30
seconds. Are you that pumped that you're just doing 20 press ups?
You here? Have to get up and go in hard. Stage three.
Honestly, Christmas, Jesus, I'm not. I can't do. Like press ups take just, me forever.
Well, I'm not very good at them. But if you get up and you do it immediately,
but
still,
but how?
Do it immediately.
Do 20 now.
Well, there's not enough room in this hotel.
I like
let's see how long it takes.
I've had a fair amount of wine
let's
units.
See how long it takes.
All right, fuck's sake.
Got one of these chrome-rimmed bins that look really like an 80s prize.
Okay, ready?
It's not a lot of room.
Wait,
for
are you filming this?
I'll time it.
Okay, well, I'm going to film it, and you...
Where am I? Yeah, it's left, not even, not even here. Wide enough.
That's wide me. Enough.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Here we
ready?
Yep.
3, 2, 1, go. 1, 2, 3, 4... 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Stop the clock. 23.97 seconds.
That's not bad.
That's after wine units. I don't normally do press-ups off the wine unit.
That's really impressive.
That's really
but you imagine that with Crockett's theme in the background at volume 8.
Well, for copyright reasons, I can't dub it over, but yes, let's all imagine that.
Are you going to be sick?
No, I'm absolutely fine. I feel quite pumped now.
You've got a lovely patina.
I've got a sheen on, have I?
A sheen on.
Thanks.
A Barry?
A Barry. Oh, yes.
No.
Barry Sheen. Sorry, what, today.
Well, we were watching some incredible bike racing.
Yes.
Two-stroke shrill. Such a shrill two-stroke.
It's not...
Double...
two-stroke.
Two-stroker. We're not supposed to be mature. We're supposed to be mature.
I think it's too late, but...
Okay, it is. Now, I've written several things down.
Yeah.
One thing relates to arriving at the members' meeting today.
Yeah.
Couple of miles outside of the event, okay?
Yes.
Where it's still quite woodlandy.
Yeah.
Back roads I went. And I said to you, I was on the Bluetooth phone to you, because you were trying to work out how far away I was versus you.
And then tantalisingly, because of the bad phone signal, you went, oh, I've got one more thing to ask you. And then I was desperately like, Johnny! It was like, Roger!
Well, there was quite a queue of traffic, but, excuse me, it was moving. And a guy who came in hot, overtaking all the cars, was none other than a Swiss registered paddock scooter at full chat. And it had some sort of Formula One type livery on it, but it went by so fucking fast I couldn't really see what was going on. Nothing says wealth in tax-free countries than a Swiss paddock scooter.
Wow.
Someone's gone, I'm not going back to my hotel in a car. That's a loser's game.
No.
Tomorrow morning, I'm coming in hot.
Yeah. I brought the paddock scooter.
I bought the Swiss registered paddock scooter. Police aren't going to have that on their books.
No.
Boom.
I'm going. But I mostly live in Geneva for tax reasons.
Of course. Mm. Not for the charisma of the people. So.
Although I was once approached by a prostitute in Geneva, and I was amazed that there were prostitutes in Geneva.
Tax-free?
Tax-free prostitution?
I bet they give you a receipt, though.
Who asked for a receipt?
Fill it in yourself.
People who need to claim back prostitutes. I don't know.
I've never...
You can't claim
well,
back.
You can't expense back a prostitute.
I bet
in Geneva you can, and there are people who do, because it's that kind of place.
Gosh, I don't know. It's like those cards in phone booths in London when I lived in London pre-millennium.
Exist anymore, though, do they?
It's just a really grainy photo, and it just had things like bum tricks written on it. Which you used to make me laugh.
Bum tricks.
I took it. It was so funny. I had it in my kitchen for years. It just had like a random number, a grainy photo that you almost couldn't work out whether it was upside down or not, and it just said bum tricks.
That's a trick.
But like bum tricks, like it sounds like just like pulling some flowers out of it or something. What does that mean? bum tricks. I don't understand. Was this your card?
No. Oh, no, no.
Well, if you look in my bum, you'll find it was the five of hearts. You might want to wash your hands now. But bum tricks.
They're like dynamo. it was the real early days of dynamo.
Oh, yeah, okay. I've got some.
I'm going to do some street shuffling. Yeah, but also, first I've just got to take a carrier bag out of my bottom.
Look on your wrist. Where's your watch? Oh my god, it's gone. Where is it, Dynamo? Well,
drop your trousers.
Oh my god, Dynamo!
Dynamo's hidden it.
What the fuck?
He's put it in his. He's put it in his leather.
How did he get up there? What's the thing? Sometimes magicians do that thing where they go, I'm going to put it in my mouth, and they go, oh, look, check your top pocket. But instead he goes, check my bum.
Stop it.
Put it in his mouth. Check it.
Stop
back,
it.
Come back in 6 hours.
No, that's how we got. That's how we got.
Come back in 6 hours. You might find it up the old bum.
The old bum.
Feels quite Daniels.
That's what he does. That's what Dynamo did.
You're like this, but really not a lot. I mean, absolutely. You'll be quite repulsed.
Early Dynamo.
Yeah.
Late Daniels.
Late Daniels. So Dynamo would be like he'd walk into like a services car park, and he'd go pop the bonnet of your car.
Mm.
And they go, all right, and you go inside and you pull the cord and you lift it up and they go, your alternator's missing. And they go, what? I've just driven in. Just shut it off because I've just gone to the toilet. And they go, no, it's not there. Try and start your car. Start, it's no charge lights on, the belt's thrashing around. Mm. Where is it? Check my bum. You go, what? Why have you done this? Why have I got a Vauxhall Astra?
Stop doing this.
Why have I got an Astra alternator? Oh, yeah,
you're becoming a menace now. Also, medically, you shouldn't be doing this. Yeah. It's unhealthy.
But it's okay. I've put it in a bag for life, smothered in goose fat.
Oh, God.
That's absolutely So I'll use it again and again and again.
We know
for other alternators.
You and me, Johnny, know somebody who used to produce Dynamo's shows.
Yeah, I do.
And he does that thing at the end of his trick in the street. He just amazes somebody and they just walk off.
He walks away. You know he does the walk.
He's just a walk away.
Yeah.
But the thing is, in real life, apparently what used to happen is he would just walk away and he wouldn't stop walking.
And at all. Someone would have to
and
run
sometimes
after.
Sometimes they'd go, where's Dynamo? And he'd have gone off. And he'd have like accidentally got on a bus or something.
Like, walks as the crow would fly.
Yeah.
Someone
have to go and try and find Dynamo again because he was so invested in it. He'd go, I'm off. And just walk away. Yeah. But if he walked away,
like a method
if he had a Vauxhall Astra alternator up his arsehole, maybe it'd be harder to walk that far.
You'd hear the crinkle of the bag for life.
Mm. Oh, yes, of course, because it's in a bag for life.
It's shrouded.
Yeah.
It's shrouded within the goose fat laden bag for life. So that is worth. To go on to the left, it's a delightful day,
hasn't it?
What I would say is, you mentioned it earlier, Vauxhall Omega.
Omega.
Sorry, Omega. Mm. Okay, so I've written this down because we were having this conversation at the members' meeting. And it was you, Greg, I think, and you, Rich, that came up with this amazing idea for a support race.
Mm.
Admittedly slightly out there, support race.
No, I don't think so.
For the members'
meeting. No weirder than what we saw today.
No.
No, maybe not. No. So I'm going to put it to you, the listeners. Here's an idea for a support race. What's it called again?
Well, it's a work in progress, but what do you decide?
Well, we skirted around the idea of being like a company car classic.
Yes.
Or
company car classic.
Is it dad's?
Yeah, parent just got promotion.
Yeah, dad's
promotion.
Dad's
promotional company car support race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is saloon cars.
Or just the executive 4-speed auto series.
Yeah.
Because one of the things we've decided is the cars must be 4-speed autos and, very, very important, must be left in drive.
Oh, always D.
No overriding the auto.
Oh, right.
No,
always
in
D.
Get your hands away from it.
Okay, because you can't slap the stick.
No, slapping.
No manual shifting.
No. There'll be in-car cameras to make sure that you're not cheating, but overriding.
There's also in-car people.
Yes. Oh, yeah. But, yeah.
So do you want to do the cars first and then the format?
Yeah, so firstly, it's the cars. So the cars are Dad's potential promotional company car series. Yeah,
your dad's got a big promo at work. Like, yeah. Maybe he didn't even have a company car before, but if he did, it was...
Not very good.
Montego, Sierra, Cavalier.
Omega.
No, because this is the thing. He's had the step
oh,
up.
Pre-promotion. Oh,
yeah, suddenly.
He's come home with things some good news.
Yeah, can I throw news?
One in? Avensis.
Oh.
Could be. But I feel like
did
Avensis...
Did they do a biggest Toyota?
It was Carina E.
Oh, the Carina E.
Yeah. Mm. And this weird thing was, when I was a student, so in the mid-90s, I was on the motorway in a car with... someone I was at university with who was a woman who like no interest in cars. I knew we were going to the Edinburgh Festival, a load of us, we might have been in a minibus, and we were passed by a Toyota Carina E on the motorway. She went, that's a great car, that's what I'd have when I have a family.
Really?
The most random thing. We were like 19.
Really?
I was
what?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It just took me. I went, what the? I didn't say anything.
She never talked about a car ever.
Never talked about cars. We were 19 or 20 or something like that. So I remember this.
That's
this
what I'm called, going to have when I have a family.
Yeah, this is what I'm called, Helen.
Helen, if you're out there, did you ever get a Carina E? Well, you might not even have a family, but irrespective.
Maybe not. I don't know. It was the most. It totally blindsided me. I was like, because I never. You know, when you're that age, you've got all these kind of hopes and dreams and things like that. Never occurred to me that you'd sort of think about having a Toyota Carina E when you have a family. So it felt like very sort of like your trajectory. It's like the plane is taking off, but it's deciding your plane is going to just sort of drive
plateau
100 feet above the ground. I was really taken aback by it.
So
we had one of them.
You had a Carina E?
We had an Avensis and a Carina. That's why I said Avensis, because Dan had one.
Mm. Is that after the Carina E? Or
can't remember.
No, it would probably Avensis would
have been
after
the Avensis was
a newer model,
the forward thinking. the thinking man's Carina E.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
But he got that when he was the deputy head, and then became a head, and then he had a car on the school. Which
what?
Is mad, isn't
it? Yeah, because didn't you get the Renault thingy? Or
the 25 was way earlier.
Earlier.
Yeah,
right,
that was
okay.
His first.
But
he got a company.
I think it was a lease because it was a school in Beckenham, and I think there was a local Renault dealership.
And they gave him a preferential treat.
So I think the head had a deal with Renault in Beckenham.
So he didn't have to have his like name written down the side, like
oh, I would have loved that.
School headmaster.
Yeah. Motivated by.
I feel this is a real privilege because I listen to this podcast, and normally I would chip in on a walk, but I can chip in live. Can I just roll something your way?
You
can ignore it if you want.
No, please do.
Have you ever
talked about 90s cricketers with the sponsored cars they got with their names and sometimes their faces on the side and their names in a signature?
Faces?
And their faces on the side.
But crucially...
The signature.
The signature.
That's interesting.
And that is where my love of cricket and cars sort of really started to ferment. And I saw Mark Aylott, Essex cricketer in the 90s.
Yeah.
He had, it was a Saab, I think probably a Saab, I don't know, 9.5 or something.
Yeah.
From the local Chelmsford Saab garage. And it had Mark Aylott, but in his handwriting on the side. Lovely.
A signatured Saab.
The two jobs that I wanted as a kid was county cricketer or local radio presenter that would, and they both involved having your face or name on a car.
That's...
Yeah. It's weird because I was thinking about this the other day. For some reason, it suddenly popped into my mind that when I was a kid, there was a point at which I said to my parents, "I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a solicitor."
Yeah.
And I didn't tell them that the.
Had you been drinking Chardonnay at that time?
No, because I think it was about 10 or 12.
Yeah, you
or
would have had it. You would have had a little.
The reason was, and secretly, what I really wanted to be was a car journalist because I was reading Car magazine, and I just thought that looks a brilliant job. And. But I went, oh, hang on a minute. I don't think car journalism is an achievable dream. I want to be a solicitor because my parents knew a solicitor and he had a Jag XJ6.
Oh.
And I basically, all I wanted to do was, what is the job I can do that will achieve getting a nice car.
Wow. An executive saloon.
Yeah, brilliant.
Probably so. But not even that. I just wasn't after flashness. I didn't want like a flash car. I just wanted a car I thought was cool, which to me was weirdly a Jag XJ6.
Have you ever thought about the Carina E?
Well, I don't think I'd come out of that point. But on this point, Greg, because I'm a bit older than you, and my
Carina-y.
My younger brother was mates with the son of what would have been then a first division, or maybe had been Premier League football at that point, called Asa Hartford, who played for Man City.
Okay.
Man City were a bit shit at that point, but they were still, sort of. Asa Hartford, who was actually like quite a well-knownly good footballer from the 80s, played for Scotland. But he just lived in like a normal sort of suburban house up the road from us in Cheshire. And he had a Peugeot 309.
Wow.
From Tom Guy and a Peugeot in Manchester.
Amazing.
And it had, but it had down the door, this Peugeot is supplied to Asa Hartford of Manchester City. And I remember sort of thinking, it was quite embarrassing and cool all at the same time.
Yeah, it is embarrassing and cool at the same time.
But it was sort of wouldn't happen to
you. Could we make one for you?
What, a car with my name on it?
Yeah, it would be
Greg James off of Radio 1.
No, it would have a signature on it.
I weirdly think in London it's a Target.
Of course it's a Target.
Yeah.
That's the problem now.
Yeah.
But I would quite like it if modern day footballers, and I think cricketers, there are still collabs.
Oh, they do, yeah. Well, Surrey are sponsored by Kia.
Okay.
So they've all got
Kias. So they get Kias.
They've all got what they call stingers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the stinger. Yeah, that's a good cricket. Good cricketer's saloon.
The sport is it the Sportage?
Yes. Yeah.
But then
Sportage.
Stinger's a great car.
Yeah, I like the Stinger.
It's a sweet, sweet saloon sweet of a car.
Every time I see a Stinger, though, you kind of go, "There's a car that you didn't buy by accident." But maybe if it's a cricketer,
never given it by accident.
But
if I was a cricketer and I got gifted a Stinger.
Oh,
I would be. Do you know what I do?
You'd do extra good cricket that day.
Do you know what I know? Do you want to know exactly what I would do? My alarm would go off. Hit a ball, I do 20 press ups.
It's a Crockett's theme.
And I'd put a Crockett's theme on it. Volume 8.
I'm going to go out and go and do some good cricket today.
Oh. We were trying to do a Tail Enders podcast from inside Mark I. Lutz Saab. Would have been really fun, but I don't think he's still got it because it was, you know, the early noughties.
Is he still a cricketer or is he?
No, I think he coaches. He's not.
He's now a Saab dealer. Yeah. Sadly, no business.
Should we? But I wonder if you could find a cricketer that was gifted a car a long time ago and still has it.
Yeah, yeah, there will be some
because they'll be like, I just really got on with it. It was just great.
Because when
that would be great.
When Saab went bust. And the UK importer must have closed down. Well, we know it sort of did because a friend of ours worked there, didn't he?
Yeah.
But maybe some of these cricketers just found themselves with a Saab and there was like nowhere to go. Like when MG Rover went bust, Autocar had a long term test car, an MGZT V8.
Yeah.
And they genuinely, they wanted to give it back because they thought they ought to. But
they couldn't find anyone.
There was no one answering the phone. They ended up with that car for ages because they just couldn't give it back. So maybe the same thing. Cricketers going, I mean, I like this Saab, but it needs road tax. And I don't know. I haven't got the V5 because it belongs to someone else. It belongs to Saab.
Saabs are a cricketing spec car because
they are a cricket car.
I've talked about this on a Smith and Stiff previously years ago, I'm sure, but because I grew up near Taunton and Somerset County Cricket Club was like. Is quite a major thing in the town.
Mm.
Ian Botham played.
He did
in the 80s.
Yeah,
at Somerset
and Viv Richards.
Yeah, and
did he?
Yeah,
they were good mates. Those two.
And back then, Botham was a staunch Saab 900 turbo man.
Was he? Yes,
he was a staunch. He had like five on the trot, and he smashed two of them fully up.
Yeah, for a laugh.
I don't know.
Beefy.
I think he might have accidentally understeered into a wall on one of them. It was
probably not accidentally.
But I got given his biography for Christmas when I was far too young to really read an adult's biography.
Yeah.
And it had a picture section in the middle. And if you open it, one of them was him on the bonnet of one of the Saabs with one leg really high.
With a bit of brain juice and some very short shorts.
Probably like framing the crotch kind of shot. And then you turn the page and there's a shot of one's other Saab completely smashed up. You put it in there and go, that time I had a terrible accident in a Saab.
I've got it.
Have you?
What? Yeah. If you Google Ian Botham Saab.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And then that one.
Yeah. So is there one of them spread-eagled on it?
There's...
Is he mansplaining on it?
There's that. It was an advert that says one test run that changed Ian Botham's life. The
crash in the Saab where he didn't get hurt.
Yeah.
Because it's a Saab. So Botham, I wonder if Ian Botham now still has a bloody Saab somewhere.
Have you ever met Ian Botham?
I have, yeah.
Is he, what's he like?
Is he cool?
I haven't met him for very long, but he was in the commentary box and he was very sort of ruddy faced.
Isn't it? I thought I saw a story about one of the younger members of the team, they used to share rooms on tour, and I can't remember who it was that they realised that if they were sharing a room with both of them, they'd have to put up with the fact that he was shagging.
Yes. Well, that whatever story you've heard about Ian Botham is probably true.
Really?
Because he was a real wild...
So hang on, we get this
also,
right.
Also, he's...
A serial Saab destroyer.
He's really very good at being a bit like playing cricket as well.
Amazing at playing cricket.
Yeah.
But also an amazing character. Really quite, I think, quite grumpy.
Yeah.
But also, he just... He looks like a man that's got his own wine.
Yeah. Yes. He carries his own wine. You know... Plato went through a phase of carrying his favourite wine in the boot of the car.
What? No, he has his own wine brand.
Oh, actually owns his own wine. Plato doesn't own his own wine.
Well, that's, I mean, that's dangerous, isn't it?
So Plato, when Plato like finds a wine that he really likes, he'll buy, you know, several boxes, and he always keeps at least one in those nets in the sides of the boot.
Oh, yes.
He does it, because I said, why are you doing this? And he went, because sometimes you meet people who are just lovely, and you might just go, do you know what? I've got something for you. I just open the boot and I give you this is a lovely wine. Try this wine.
But isn't the boot of Plato's car, so he's like, here, have this bottle of it couldn't be champagne because it would have been incredibly shaken up.
It would have been so shaken up.
He's absolutely been on it for the last 40 miles.
He would have been pedalling hard through the back lanes. It would have been, imagine it, like a family bottle of Coca-Cola that's been rolling around in the boot of Plato's car for a month. Yeah,
something for the kiddies.
You take your eye out. Take your eye out.
But your idea of a cricket car.
I love it.
Because I think a Saab is a very cricket car. Where have people gone?
Mm.
What do cricket people drive?
It's a great question. I don't know what they drive now.
I used to live
Jimmy Anderson has got good cars.
Daily car though?
Is he a Saab guy? Is he a saloon guy?
He's got a Taycan.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Good.
Sweet car.
He had an RS4 for a while.
Yeah.
But Jimmy's quite gunmetal grey.
Is he?
Which is where me and him sort of diverge.
You like a bit of colour.
Well, I don't like anything matte.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, too sort of black alloyed.
Yeah.
Not really into that.
I'm thinking Botham. I wonder if he ever had a 900 turbo in white, but it had a coach line of blue and red, like a cricket jumper.
Oh.
So it looks like a driving cricket jumper.
But also sort of like a smudgy red stain on the back bumper where he's just rubbed a ball on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's done a little crotch rub.
People who know, they go, okay.
Yeah.
Where's the crotch on a car?
Ooh. Where is the crotch on a car? Is it the middle of the front grille, like the nose area? Or is it down rear quarter? Is it the rear quarter? Is that the gusset?
I'm going to say yes, but I don't really know. I haven't...
Or is it the trans tunnel underneath towards the back, where
it
the second
like it
sign...
It might be the under... Yeah, the under...
Underbelly.
Underbelly.
Exhaust.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
We haven't talked about this, by the way. You know, I've mentioned this on the podcast before about my neighbour's Picasso that... needed just she wanted it gone. She was going to take it to rebuy any car, and I sort of mentioned and said, if anyone wants it, no one really engage with this. Because, but it would look like, superficially, it looked like it made a little bit of rot going on.
Yeah.
So in the end, I just said, look, she said, I don't care. I just need the car gone. I just want it gone. So I don't care about the money. But I was like, look, well, there might be a few quid in this, but I will, if you just, I will just take care of this. So I got someone to take it away to the local scrapper. And they said, 160 quid. Okay, whatever. That's been sort of really croaky. But 160 quid. But as they were winching onto the truck.
Well, they didn't claw it through the roof with the chain.
No. Okay. A guy just winched it on. And I just started to look underneath, thinking, oh, it's going to be rotty as fuck under there. It was clean as a whistle.
Oh.
And I had this massive guilt where I was like, oh my God, I am sentencing to death a perfectly decent car.
Wow.
But it in happens. Fairness,
it happens.
My neighbour said, when you turn it on, all the warning lights come on the dash. Mm. So there's probably an electrical gremlin there that's never going to get
away. You know what? Ronnie Pickering will be shaking his fist at you.
Well, he probably will.
Because that would be.
Do I know who he is?
Well, if you don't, they'll be hell to pay.
Can I ask a question?
Who's
about,
that?
Can I ask a question about the Picasso?
Yeah.
I don't think Pablo would have been into that car.
Don't you? No.
It's far too boring for him.
Well, he'd have put all the headlights on one side or something.
He would have muraled it.
You can't call a car a Picasso and then make it look like that.
It's got to be mental.
Mm.
If it's, yeah. It's got, as you said, it's got to have, you know, five headlights.
Ooh, yeah. Now, and be this reminds me.
Yeah, and drive backwards.
I'll never find only. This. But if I can, this will be brilliant.
And the driver's in the back seat.
I was talking to someone today whilst watching the saloon car racing at the members meeting about the Toyota Will, and that's almost a Picasso car.
Weird.
Yeah, not many people know about the Toyota Will.
Well, it's a JDM.
JDM. Do you know about the Toyota Will?
No.
It's a very odd looking car that looks like the Harry Potter spec Ford Anglia mixed with, I don't know, a postal van mixed with...
It's kind of futuristic, but Greg's just thrown a lemon out of the window.
That's cucumber.
Oh, what's that? Oh, cucumber. Ooh la la.
Listen to Mr. Drunk Richard's wine collection.
This is the noise, the chinking glasses would you like some of my wine? Because there's too much wine. Johnny's having some of my wine.
Yeah, you did. Oh, yeah, did. Can we just say,
Johnny, like, you're pouring some of a pint of wine. What the fuck are you doing?
Not for me.
Richard, can I have some of my wine?
Yes, you can.
Some of your wine.
This podcast is sponsored
by Greg James.
What's the wine? Imagine we lifted it up now and it was a bottle of Botham.
Oh, imagine if it's Botham's own.
It'd be slightly spooky because I've had a spooky day where twice I've been talking about something and someone has messaged me about the same thing and I'm slightly freaked out by it. But anyway, talking as we were about Picasso,
yes.
A few weeks ago we had a message from a listener called Gabble. And he said it's punchy. Yeah, don't.
Christ.
Yeah, hello, and you've got a pint of that to take down. Anyway. Now, Gabor has made a point about great artist Johnny's lost it. I'm going to plug on anyway.
That is rough.
He said to segue. I read the wrong part of the email. He said, "I've fallen down a rabbit hole looking up cars that Picasso could have been around to experience." Because you forget, Pablo Picasso lived.
In the 80s?
Died
in the 70s, didn't he?
The 70s?
Or the 80s.
Gabor says, Pablo Picasso died the year the Austin Allegro, the Caterham 7, this might have been 73 then.
Yeah, 70.
Was launched.
Yeah. The VW Passat, the Reliant Robin, the Lancia Stratos, HF Stradale, and the BMW 2002 Turbo debuted.
He died 73.
Yeah. So, Gabor's point is, I like to imagine him listening to songs such as American Pie, Rocketman, Rise in the Storm, Smoke and Water, or Space Oddity. He was alive to see these cars, in theory.
What would he have... If he bought a car in the last year of his life...
Yeah.
A new car.
Yeah.
What the living frig would he have
bought? This is Gabor's question, because he also says that Salvador Dali died the year of the BMW 8 Series, the original Master MX-5, the what? Citroen XM, the Lotus Carlton, Lotus Elan, the front-wheel drive one.
You're so professional.
It was a very good
just burp. Just doing a real gassy burp.
Is this what you do?
It's the wine. That's...
When Dua Lipa comes in, you just go, oh, sorry, I'm just a bit of a meaty burp. Nissan S-Cargo, Vauxhall Calibra or Maserati?
Oh, it's Salvador Dali in a Calibra, but he's... Do you know what he's done? He's blowtorched all the plastic light clusters, so they've melted a little
incredible
bit.
Melted.
Yeah, and the body...
Well, he's replaced them with a plastic crab or something. That...
Yeah, the plastic bumpers all on one side. He's made them incredibly hot and UV exposed. So he only parks the car at a certain angle.
Oh,
so
yeah.
One side's UV damaged, the other side's perfect.
You know what came out in 73?
Yeah, he did. The Robin
and the Passat.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Pissant.
The original Pissant.
Very early Pissant.
Yeah. Wow.
Very, very early.
But it's weird because you think Picasso, you know, he's considered one of the great artists.
Mm.
But he was around long enough to see the Volkswagen Passat.
But unless you're, he would have died a wealthy artist.
A lot of artists
didn't die wealthy.
Picasso wealthy though? Because
yeah.
I think he was well.
Was he
I think his works were valuable by the time he died.
Okay.
But you see, the reason why I'm saying this is because I think artists would go for a practical car that they can just fit shitloads of art stuff in.
Well, they've always got painty hands, haven't
painty
they?
Painty hands.
They want a nice car.
So it'd be a seats down estate.
So he died in 73. Let's say that the last car he bought a second-hand car in the late 60s.
Yeah. Would it have been a Renault?
Yeah. Wouldn't it?
I think
a Renault 16 or something like that.
Yeah, a bigger Renault.
Practical hatchback.
Yeah.
Get some canvases in the back.
Exactly, with a roof
painty
rack.
Steering wheel.
Or he maybe built his own tray roof because we could climb onto the roof.
Where did Greg? Are you looking at Picasso? Where did
he
Picasso
didn't drive?
What?
Get out!
He didn't drive.
Oh shitting heck!
Well, that just
answer to the question: was he rich? He had a chauffeur.
Well, that just presses on the balloon knot of our question.
Wow!
Fucking hell, Picasso! Get your shit together.
Yeah,
that's quite arty, though, isn't it? Not to drive.
Yeah.
Well,
it's quite common to drive.
When I first moved to London, I lived in this weird little garden flat in Highgate, and the house was owned by an artist, and he had a Citroen AX GT.
Mm.
It was completely ruined.
Was it?
Yeah.
Or citified?
Yeah, it was full London spec. You know, AXGTs had lots of plastic trim. Yeah. All of it was falling off or damaged. Because I remember saying to him, he's called Noel, and I said, "No, well, you got a cool car, Noel." And he went, "Oh, I'm not really interested in cars."
No. Why did he have the GT then?
I think it's just, but that's the thing.
He would have been given to him by his grandmother.
No, but someone who's so disinterested in cars, it probably was just given to him by a friend or
he had no idea it was the GT.
No.
He probably just thought, insurance just seems a little higher than I was expecting.
Yeah.
There's a photo of him sitting inside a black 1956 Mercedes-Benz SL300 SLS.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but he probably just.
It wasn't his, but he was sat in it.
Is this Picasso?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Picasso would have liked a Citroen DS, but then find me someone that doesn't.
No, I don't trust anyone who doesn't like a DS.
Serenal finds. I had two people coming up to me today and they shouted, "Find another," in the back of my head.
No.
Find another. They did. They shouted it. But I just
want. What's your theory? We were talking about this earlier on, Greg. You've got a theory about how we need to develop some kind of call and response, because you've got one for your podcast.
Your new call and response?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's so that people in public can express a love of your podcast, because I saw it a lot today. I saw a lot of people coming.
Thank
up
you, by the way. So everyone who came up, it's Saturday now, and we've been a good members meeting. We had loads of people coming up and saying hi. And
we had a few members. We met up with some members.
don't dirty this.
No, I'm not dirty.
I was
dirty
trying to be sincere.
No,
it was
way.
Really nice. We met a lot of people, and thank you to everyone who came up and said hi. And it's really nice.
But a bit like the. A bit like in The Simpsons, the stonecutters. You know, a secret club.
Yeah.
You need a secret handshake or a secret code.
Yeah.
And so the conversation went to, what's the most annoying question you get asked? And it is, what's the best car in the world then? Or what's your favourite car ever?
Of all time, yeah.
So if listeners to your podcast see you in the real world, they come up to you and in the know, they go, what's your favourite car in the whole world then?
Yeah.
And then you need to come up with an answer.
We have a flippant answer
that's
actually
answer?
Bullshit.
What is it?
Yeah, what is the flip? We tossed a few things about.
Well, is it a Botham Spec Saab?
Oh, God. Botham Spec Saab is a good answer.
Yeah, Botham Saab.
So the call is, what's your favourite car in the whole world then?
What's the best car in the world? Yeah.
And you say Botham Spec Saab.
Botham Spec Saab.
Oh, yeah. So is that true Botham Spec? So white, blue and red coach line and panel damage.
Yeah, yes? You're assuming that Ian Botham...
with a wine
fruit. Beefy Botham wanted to drive around at his prime in a car that looked like a cricket jumper. Like, almost like it had a V-neck on the windscreen. Shit, that reminds me. When I was coming into the circuit this morning, I saw a gentleman drove the other way in an old school 86 series BMW.
Oh.
And he had so many Goodwood stickers down the driver's side of the windscreen. That's obscuring your view, my friend. What the hell are you doing?
He's a veteran of the...
But why don't put them on the passenger side?
Well, he's memorised the roads.
Very strange. Yeah. Yes. I could do this by sight, by touch.
And I will.
Did he have a cricket?
When I hear scraping, I think the cyclist or a hedge and it's fine.
Did he have a cricket jumper on?
No, but he probably should have done.
I'm imagining the Botham Spec Saab is like the van from Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, yeah.
It's a dog, but it's a cricket jumper.
Just huge. Yes, with the joined.
So gable.
Just joined in the middle with the cuffs.
And, weathered.
Well, the question that the race series that we started to discuss.
Here. Can I urge caution here? Because we've done this before. We've done inadvertent call to action before and then find yourself wandering around and being... So I've got to read this out. I have to find this email now from a listener who said that they were in a Halfords and...
This is a good story. You told me this today.
I didn't
believe you for a while.
Well, now, you see, look, I've clicked on my special folder of messages to read out and my computer's gone, no, mate. Nah, not now. For some reason, probably because I'm not on the Wi-Fi.
I've got to say, this red wine's really quite nice.
Is it?
Yeah. And that's why I go for a red... Because I think white.
What, rather than this sort of slightly punchy white? That's
what white wine is, Rick. Mm. I'm doing a certain action which I won't describe.
Okay, so a listener called Adam says, "Guys,
with a Z.
Sweet
guys.
I found myself randomly and with no warning saying Spota."
That's one of our things. Fucking
spots. Welcome to the catchphrase world.
Fucking spots.
Doesn't matter where I am, what I'm doing. While in Halfords today, I was looking through the booklet at the wiper blades aisle.
Great aisle.
Yeah, it's sweet. A good aisle. Sweet
aisle. I always think I need new wipers.
Yeah, well, you can never have too fresh.
But you know what? The reward for the money you pay is high with new blades.
Yeah, it is. They're a relatively cheap way to make your car better.
And it just, you feel that seal against the screen and you go,
smooth.
That's akin to your alarm going off and you're doing 20 press ups. With Jan Hammer playing in the background.
This is a false comparison.
And this is where you two are going wrong. You fuckers need to start doing this. Especially you, I'm pointing at you.
So,
yeah.
Adam says, while in Halfords today, I was looking through the booklet, the wiper blades aisle. It must have been left open on the Range Rover page. And I couldn't help say to myself, Spota. The guy on the other side of the aisle, brackets, touch-up paint, lovely detail.
Oh, good detail.
Must have heard me, and without hesitation, he said, flute.
Really? Wow. Flute?
I looked up, he looked up, we both burst into laughter.
That's amazing.
Two listeners bonded over
huge
shitty catchphrases that we've done. So,
new one.
Yeah.
Well, but when we introduce this, we have to be very careful.
Do you know what? If we ever
what's
buy
the best
a pub,
car in the world?
Can we call it the Spout and
the
Spouty
Flute?
Flute. Flute.
The pair of flutes also may be admissible. We should probably stop this.
Well, I was going to finish our wild card saloon car racing series chat.
Yeah,
we need to wrap that up.
Got distracted.
Yeah, but we got a...
welcome.
I wrote one other thing down, which was Paul Walker's Supra sunglasses. And that's only because... I just want to add this in. It's a super, very quick one. I let my son watch The Fast and Furious.
Oh, yes.
for the first time. He's been wanting to watch it for ages. Yeah. He's 12 and a half years old. And I thought, you know what? We had a couple of nights to ourselves without my daughter, who wasn't interested in watching the Fast and Furious. And I said, come on then, let's watch it. So we watched Fast and Furious. I'm going to put it out there. It was very embarrassing to watch for me. It's just not a very good film, I don't think. But I know it was synonymous with cars for a lot of people. But he wears some sunglasses in the scene where he drives that orange Supra with what looks like a flying Roman on the side. I think it's a flying Roman, genuinely. Would you put a flying Roman mural on the side of your Supra? I wouldn't.
It was a different time.
Different times. But anyway, his sunglasses. It's, we've talked about 90s sunglasses.
Yes.
Not quite fitting your face very well.
Oh.
And his Paul Walker sunglasses don't fit his face very well in that particular one. And all I could think about at the end of that film was Paul Walker's super sunglasses.
Did you say to your son, like, if you take one thing away from this film, buy more well-fitting sunglasses?
Well, most people take away from that film lines like, dude, I almost had you. And I'm like, no, actually,
dude,
I took away
you
the
need to go back to the sunglasses.
Ill-fitting sunglasses. Yeah, the ill-fitting sunglasses. They're a bit crooked on the face, so they look like you've been slightly punched. But anyway, so the wild card saloon car dad's aspiration.
Oh, yeah, we're back to that. Yeah,
we just need to wrap that up.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So the idea,
the field is Omega.
Yes,
Smooth Classics at 7.
Spots we haven't even got into that. The Smooth Classics.
That's this is how this whole thing started.
Well, can you say that? You can do this. Explain anecdote, this. Greg. Because
when I was revising for my exams as a teenager, I listened to Classic FM, and at 7 p.m. it would be Smooth Classics at 7 with the Vauxhall Omega, and it would have been Margarita Taylor playing, you know, Elgar. Right,
so there. Sponsored but by Vauxhall Omega.
I don't think
it's an incredible thing that a radio show sponsored not by a car brand but by a very specific
model.
Yeah, but it speaks to the listener.
I wonder if they could have got more specific.
Made me want one.
I actually
clearly, because we've been talking about it all day.
Still want one.
Well, let's get one.
Well, hang
don't
on.
You
we,
start
no,
talking
we need to, because we've got some Vauxhall business suites,
which I haven't told Greg about.
Well, let's save
we'll
that
love
for
to talk to
we,
about
yeah, we need to
the
talk about this.
Omega Saffron.
Greg's already bought us some wine. Maybe he'll buy us some.
I'll buy you an Omega.
Piss right.
No, we've got something. We've got
don't you,
a limo.
Yeah.
What?
You're buying a limo?
Yeah.
How
wait,
the fuck
no.
do you know
he
that?
He just said it.
You piss artist.
Right. Well, we need to. We need
stop,
stop
listening.
No, stop.
Anyway.
Stop listening.
Okay. Stop listening.
Say that on the podcast.
There's a terrible,
stop listening.
There's
stop.
A fuzzy line between real life and recording, and maybe that's. But we. Well, just gonna keep recording.
Buying
anyway,
a limo.
This
is Dumb and Dumber.
No, because it's a limo owned by a band, but we've talked about it far too much on the podcast. We know
to the point where people are threatening
but
to buy it.
A radio show owned by or sponsored by a specific model of car.
Yeah. Yes,
got you into the Vauxhall Omega. Omega. We still haven't decided.
Well, it was Omega on the advert.
Yeah,
Omega.
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 Like
Omega.
I can't remember.
Omega.
No, I can't remember.
It's one of those words where we've said it so many times I can't remember.
Like
Omega.
Like mugger.
Omega.
Omega. Omega. Omega. Omega.
Yeah.
All I can say is they were a good car.
Yeah.
And they had a really good steering angle, which is why budget drifters rate them.
Really?
Fact.
Yeah.
And is it 3.2 was the biggest capacity they did?
Yes.
They did a 3.2 six-speed Manuel.
Police spec.
Huge.
Mm.
Sweet engine.
Guzzler.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but ooh.
Worth it.
Oh, yeah. Well, with the
you're listening to Smooth Classics, sponsored by the Vauxhall Omega 3.2 Manual.
Elite.
Elite. Ex-police. No sunroof.
No sunroof. With six-disc multi-change.
On some cheap remold rear tyres.
Oh, shit. Imagine
drifting
that.
Up a slip road.
Can you
to
imagine
the sounds
that?
Of Elgar.
You imagine that. So the alarm goes off. You haven't got Alexa because it doesn't exist because it's the 90s. You have a shower. You come straight out of the shower. You're a busy man. No time for breakfast.
You're doing the press-ups.
You quickly do 20 press-ups while the kettle's boiling. You make yourself a coffee. You get out there. You strike up the 3.2 Omega Elite 6-speed manual with
Omega.
Omega. With limited slip diff. You creep off the drive. You let the engine warm up by, let's say, 5 miles, 4 miles. and then you give it fucking hell.
Oh.
Through the bends.
Smooth classics.
And then you open it, you fully uncork it on the B road.
But are you, sorry, to be clear, are you a detective inspector at this point, or have you just bought an ex-police car?
The problem is, I left the house in such a rush. I've still got my... I've actually not got a shirt on.
You have got a shirt on. You've got epaulettes. And everyone thinks you're a policeman, but you're not.
No, I left out after doing 20 press-ups and clicking the kettle.
But doesn't it be yourself?
I'm just...
You're in a short-sleeve white shirt, and then you get pulled over for impersonating a police officer because you're an Omega in a short sleeve white shirt, and that's enough to look like you're impersonating the police. Also, you were driving at 120 on the A37.
I absolutely would aspire to that. We still haven't finished. If anyone, I'll wrap this up by saying, if anyone who is high ranking within Goodwood is listening to this podcast, the idea is for a left field wild card race event, which is executive saloons,
yes,
4-speed auto only,
yes,
the sort of car your dad might have got in a promotion,
yes, dad's promotion
off of the late 80s early 90s ish
mostly, yeah. So
yes,
Omega.
Renault 25.
25 slash Safran.
Safran, yeah.
Safran.
We'll allow a Safran.
Yeah. Safran, we'll allow it.
V6. Peugeot 605.
Peugeot 605.
With my personal choice, because I think they were good handling car.
And handsome.
Punchy V6 with an auto.
Yes, yes, yes.
What Volvo you have in?
Would be a 960, would it?
960, I think, yeah.
So rear wheel drive?
Saab 95.
Saab 9-5. I'm going to go Scorpio from Ford.
Ah, yes. Scorpio.
Off of the Ford.
It's a
fault.
I'm going to say wild card, maybe get...
Alpha 164, the big one.
Yes.
The big one.
Yes.
Yes.
Again, a lovely V6.
Sweet, sweet
but did
car.
They do an auto with that?
I bet they bloody did. For Rome traffic.
I don't know. No. Yeah. I think that's...
You don't think... You think he was in a Manuel?
Maybe. I don't know. Investigation on that one. But
big Audi.
Who was who do you have in your Nissan Primera barn find?
Matt Neal.
Nissan man. He's got the Maxima.
Oh.
That was auto only, surely. Yeah.
Oh yes. Yeah. Oh, very auto.
I mean, that would be a car.
Slurry.
Slurry. That would have been proper smooth radio gearbox, that.
Yeah.
That would have been smearing the gears.
With I was going to say Margarita Bracketan. Who was talking about?
Margarita Taylor.
Margarita Taylor.
Bracketan.
Very different person.
The new Margarita Bracketan.
It sounds like a car.
So smooth. But she can wave the flag smoothly to set everyone off.
Yeah.
This is a smooth race.
And also because the...
Points are rewarded for smoothness.
Can you imagine? So everyone's got to pull away in D. You're not allowed to hang it in the low
Alan
gear.
Prost. Famously a smooth driver.
Yeah.
D.
He's probably got D the... Only. Actually, shit. I can't have the 605. He's got the 605.
Prost.
Because he's got an allegiance with Peugeot.
Shit. Yeah, you've had to give that up.
And he's the smoothest of the smooth. The professor.
Yeah, yeah.
In the smooth
He's
sounds.
Got all six CDs in the multi-changer, and he's just shuffling.
What's he listening
same,
to, though?
It's the same CD.
What is it? Yeah. Is it Jean-Michel Jarre, Oxygen?
It might be.
Part 1,
it's
2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Why insist on calling him Jean-Michel Jarre?
Listen, I'm Jean-Michel
Jarre. Right, Jean-Michel, I fucking love your Oxygen CD.
Yeah, fucking love that, mate. I've got part 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... And if there is a 6, I've fucking got it.
So,
this race is amazing, by the way.
Yeah, this is going to be... But we worked out there's got to be a driver change.
Oh.
Can you just quickly highlight that for me?
Yeah.
Driver change, halfway through, you switch from... You start with the dad, and then you go to the mum.
Mum takes over.
More often than not, that will mean a seat adjustment.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so it's all about... precision,
electric
speed.
Memory
quick out quick in
time, yeah. Unless but you go but can you because this is all very theoretical, so can you nominate a inverted commas mum?
Or well, mum can start the race, dad can start the race.
No, but what I'm thinking is, like, if you had that someone can have an Audi 100,
yeah,
and that could
be you,
but then I'm thinking, if I've got the Audi 100, but my nominated mum driver is Michelle Mouton.
Oh, wow.
Good Audi heritage.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, right, so you're sort of getting a...
It's just basically you have to it's a male-female split, but you don't have to be your actual wife or the actual mother.
Right, so when we do the mandatory pit stop, one driver gets out, the other driver gets in and has to adjust the seat. If it's got a memory function, that will come in handy at this point.
I think so.
If also it has a boot release, which some executive saloons did back then, you could pop the boot, because this is also a mandatory thing. You have to run into the pits where they keep things like fuel and tyres, and there are three head hold-all bags.
Yeah.
The head bag.
And you have to run and get all three head bags, throw them into the boot, slam down the boot. This is what the first driver will do while the second driver's getting all seated up. And then straight into D, door shut. Oh, no. And then the person that's got out of the car and done their first stint, which is probably going to be the man, let's just say, he has to immediately go over to a table in the pits and drink a cold pint of Foster's fast.
But I also think...
I think a pint of bitter.
Yeah. Do you think bitter?
But I also
Boddington's?
Maybe Boddington's. Well, yeah.
Do you think it'd be a British bitter?
Dad Boddington's.
Yeah.
Dad Boddington's.
But I think...
Yeah, because it's quite low strength.
Dad Boddington's.
I like that.
But I think Dad that the, but at the start of the race, do we not think it would be quite nice for... the one of the maybe the dad to do pre-flight checks on the car. So actually the car starts with the end with the bonnet up.
Yeah.
Checking the dipstick.
Yeah.
Checking the all four tires have to be checked.
Yes.
And I think also in the role play of this, you're going to France, so you have to put a headlamp little deflectors on.
Oh, yeah.
The yellow bits.
The stickers.
And the GB sticker
and the
on the
GB
back.
Sticker, yes.
So because all that has to be done.
So if it goes into Parc Fermé at the end of the race and those are not all on there,
and the stewards will check.
Right, okay. Yeah.
And the stewards will be us.
But I also, I think,
do you have a couple of packets of wheat crunchies in the centre console as well?
I don't think wheat crunchies existed in those days.
Yeah, they did. I had them at primary school.
No.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Because they used to repeat on you like hell.
Really?
Yeah, wheat crunchies, bacon flavour.
Hmm.
Yeah, believe.
Okay, I'm going to allow this. But maybe Frazzles.
Oh, Honda Legend.
Honda Legend. Shitting heck.
I'm in that. I am in the two. I'm in a 2.7 Legend. Done.
Okay.
Because
All right, nominate a mum driver for the second bit. I mean, you can pick anyone, but...
Nominate a lady
who's
driver.
A good, who's a Legend driver?
Sue Barker.
Oh. Sue Barker.
Just think she'd love it.
I think she would.
She'd have a great day.
She did it phenomenal. And you know, because it's a sort of late 80s Honda auto.
I bet she had a... Sue Buck was a very Prelude auto.
She was a sporty lady. She had a coupe.
Sporty lady.
Yeah.
She liked a dynamic car.
Yeah.
But relaxing at the same time.
Prelude tennis lady.
Prelude tennis. Sunroof open.
It's almost a rock. Just thinking about it just conjures up...
A white Prelude.
That you can't get off with her during the race.
No, I'm not getting off with her. That's so
maybe
nice.
Afterwards, though.
Yeah.
If you win.
I'll throw a holly wreath over her. Not like that. You know what I mean?
What?
It's a wreath.
Come on.
Celebratory wreath.
I'm disqualifying you.
Being a rock.
Right, well, this is probably the note on which we should end.
Yeah, I think, was that all the parts of our wild card race series?
Well, no, because the only thing was I said that we maybe should, halfway around the track, we should have a second pit, which is basically a recreation of a Little Chef. And all the dad drivers have to pop in and have an Olympic breakfast and clean the plate. you get the lollipop, but they get that's the only way you can carry on. The lollipop
they get
back in the car. Oh, yes.
Imagine the bells.
Well, that's the thing. I feel sorry for the mum driver has to go because the car is going to smell like gamey afterwards.
I'm sorry, people are watching this.
No,
this is going to be brilliant. No, this is going to be.
Oh, I see.
This
you
would
mean,
be brilliant.
Yeah.
This would be brilliant.
Phenomenal.
Well, you know,
you could have famous drivers doing it, like at Goodwood.
Exactly. Most of the names
you have Carlos Sainz Jr.
Yeah. No. He's not allowed because he can't remember this. He's only doing it for the miles. Where Carlos Sainz Senior, and he can go. Well, actually, in Spain, what a classic executive car. Actually, it's just to say it.
But if he drove for Toyota in period, you know the
Celica, he did. Yeah.
He'd go
a Camry.
Camry.
The Camry.
Camry on auto.
Oh, but lovely big D shift.
Wow.
I actually like those chunky.
Yeah, he's got a big cobra head. Oh, well. He's got a big cobra head. Cobra head shifter.
Christ.
But he's not quite sure because he's going, oh, he's right,
he's got a massive cobra head.
Massive cobra head.
Carlos Sainz.
Carlos Sainz Sr.
And Cobra Head Jr.
And he's, because he's a bit tired of how all the attention's gone to his son. He's like, fuck this.
Carlos Sainz and the cobra head fuck sounds this. Like a beatnik band outfit.
But also, let's bring some of the Aussies into this.
No. Oh, shit.
No, I think this is uniquely British.
Do you think?
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I really don't want to end it, and I'm firm don't, on this.
Okay.
I
don't no, want that's fair enough. You're fair enough.
I'm speaking out of turn here.
He's being firm. Yeah, really,
but right, I'm firm on this as an idea. I do think that all the drivers need to not eye-roll the idea. They no, all need to get it.
Sincerely go.
No, they must get it. Yeah. They must understand what we're getting at here.
You have to understand the severity of the situation.
Yeah.
Don't you? It has to be taken very seriously.
I've never been more serious about anything.
No, I've never been more serious about it.
Well, you know, we've got a kind of in with Goodwood. We can have a word. We can pitch this to them. We can speak to the Lord of Duke of March of Richmond, whatever he's called now, I can't remember. And I'm sure he will be very receptive to our suggestion because in no way will it
do you know what? I've almost zoned out because I'm just thinking about I'm on the start line of that iconic circuit. I can see the grid now. I'm in a legend, and it's already in D. And because I'm not allowed to slap it into low or first,
not.
I'm
no, not. You are not. No,
no, you remember. No.
I am, the stick stays where it is.
I'm using 2 feet on the pedals. I'm actually
loafers.
Yeah, left
both foot. Both FIA approved.
Yeah, FIA Nomex loafers. I've got the left foot on the brake, of course, but the right foot is building the revs, and the back is rearing up. You know, like when two cats meet on the street and rival cats, and they build a bit of power into the back. So, they build like this, and they go, I'm going to do you in a minute.
You're in the ledge.
I'm in the legend.
You're going Renault, I think.
I'm definitely Renault.
You're Renault loyalist.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I mean, I would go Omega because I think actually handling wise, but there's a part of me just goes Rover 800.
It's got independent rear suspension on the
Omega.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Rover 800, the 800's
got double wishbones.
Double wishbones.
It's basically a ledge underneath.
Yeah.
But right. But
which
but,
means you and I might be even Stevens.
Yeah. Who's winning? Because have I got a V6 25?
Yeah, you got the V6.
I'm winning.
Well, I'll do my best.
They're quite punchy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lexus LS400's not allowed in. No, it's too late.
No, it's too much. Too lux. Too lux.
Too V8.
That's not. Dad's got a promotion, yeah, exactly. But he's not got that much of a promotion.
Yeah, come on, Dad. You're dealing drugs.
He's not
something.
Running the company.
Yeah, he's dealing. He's just got amphetamines a promotion at the clubs.
But then also, I'm thinking, who's my mum driver?
Yeah, lady driver. Michelle Mouton is my absolute, like,
I know,
female driver crush of all time.
I'm
her with the 5-cylinder through the forest.
Oh, we'll come back to
make
this.
A decision,
I'm sure people
Richard.
Will write it. No, I can't commit. Otherwise, I'm just going to say, like,
we're going to put it out there, Ricky, to you. You can pick up the reins from here. Add your executive saloon with 4-speed auto.
Yeah, it must have a 4-speed auto. And it's staying in D, by the way.
It's staying in D.
Those are the rules.
So if you've picked a Mercedes, remember, they typically pull away in second gear.
Yeah.
So on the start line, you've got to build that.
Also, we haven't even thought about W124. Like, Dad's got a promotion, but what is it? Like a 200E, isn't it? Or 200, just 200
Well, you wouldn't let him have a 320?
No, that's too much of a promotion. No, they were very expensive back in the day.
Sorry, guys, sorry.
Same with a BMW. I think you said earlier on, Greg, like a 5 Series, that's too much.
5 Series is too much. Maybe a 3?
Yeah, 320.
A 320.
It feels like cheating.
320i?
I feel like that's going to just win.
No, it won't just win.
I think they're just excluding it for reasons we haven't even thought of.
I think you've totally underestimated. I'm in the legend. Just think about that. I am legend.
I think also maybe the stipulation is it's cars that no longer exist in any way, because you can track back the 3 Series to a 3 Series.
I think
needs to be dead models.
A truncated family tree.
Okay. So dead models
Omega,
only.
Yes.
Yeah. Rover 800.
Legend. Yes.
Legend.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rover.
That
gets rid of
Renault Safrane.
Basically, Renault. Yeah, no.
All I want to do is I want to be going down the straight and focusing because I know that I've missed my breaking point because I want to win this. I look right and there's Muggins here, Greg James in a fucking Renault Safrane, basically giving me the V's.
Yeah. I think I'm in a 25.
Okay.
It's either a 25 or it's an Espace.
They're quite low slung.
And you're allowed an Espace?
No,
Espace is a people car.
I know,
you
know, it's
but if that, because I remember when
you allowed that on the
when I was a kid, there were some people my parents knew And they were a little bit well-to-do, and then they got in a spas, and it was almost like, oh my gosh. They're so ultra.
Progressive.
Suburban ultras. In an espace, because they were very expensive espaces.
Yeah, well, they deserve to be.
Yeah.
Well,
you got a crush on them, haven't you?
I have got a crush, actually. Yeah. It might be my first crush.
Yeah.
But hang on, are you which generation of espace? Are you trying to sneak in a V6 espace?
Not necessarily. I quite like a sort of a brown D reg would be nice.
I'm not sure if it came with an auto though. You might have
to
have
a bit later. Surely.
A bit later.
You can't get an auto.
You get an auto espace.
I have to check this, yeah.
No, sure. You definitely have an auto espace. Auto espace.
Yeah,
no,
auto espace.
Auto espace. Mm. Feels like that's a whole separate thing.
But I could see this happening at the circuit.
This is our faux 80s car show.
It would be like Dad spec Gran Turismo on the PlayStation 2.
Grandad Turismo.
Oh, Grandad Turismo, that's exactly it.
There it is.
That's it. Hey, Grandad, can we borrow your Honda Legend? What for?
Grandad Turismo.
Never you mind. Go and sit in the chair and watch darts. We're taking it. That's it. Well, that's all we've got time for.
Yes.
And all
that's
that.
That's another show done over as well. Basically near Chichester.
Yeah.
Thanks
for listening if you have this long. And this is, I'm sure this is the first podcast we've done where we've had a guest for the duration.
I know, we've kind of broken our own rules.
And Greg's been sat on a bed most of the time with his socks on. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's fully clothed as well.
I'm actually worried about the reviews.
Yeah.
Because as a listener of podcasts, if there's an interloper, do you think it's annoying. So I might have annoyed myself.
I don't know.
Right. I might edit you out.
Well, that's fine.
We'll just get rid. Yeah. We'll keep a couple of like laughs and japes in.
That's fine.
Most of it. Yeah.
It's okay. Well, anyway.
Sorry, everyone.
Thanks for being here.
Well, I'm sorry about it.
Yeah. No, you've been a sweet, sweet guy.
We'll do this all again next week.
Well, because that's the way it works, Rich.
We'll be in a hot hotel room with Greg James off the radio, but otherwise it'll be the same.
Yeah, in 7 days you'll hear more of this.
Goodbye, everyone.
Shout out to you, Jack. I said I'd shout you out, and I just
Jack. Jack. We love you, Jack. Thank you.
Cheers, guys. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Cheers, mate. Thanks, mate.
Bye.
Love you. Bye, mate.
So you've enjoyed this podcast, but you've had a thought. Is there a way here today that you could show support? Well, you could join our Patreon, what wonders that it brings. Early shows and extra notes on that side of things. You could buy our merchandise with mugs and hats, but still no ties. One day we will make those pies, but in the meantime, guys, hey guys. Like and subscribe, and maybe leave a nice review. Like and subscribe, we know you know just what to do. Like and subscribe, we don't want to take the piss. Like and subscribe, but we were told to ask for this. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe. Subscribe, like and subscribe.
So drunk. Desperately trying to be professional but failing.
This is so good.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.